So we have been going through 1 Timothy, and we are now come to the 5th chapter. We picked up the first two verses last week, which actually went better with the 4th chapter. Tonight, we're going to do 1 Timothy 5, 3 to 25. Support widows who are genuinely widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must learn to practice godliness toward their own family first and to repay their parents, for this pleases God. The real widow, left all alone, has put her hope in God and continues night and day in her petitions and prayers. However, she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command this also, so they won't be blamed. But if anyone does not provide for his own, that is, his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. No widow should be placed on the official support list unless she is at least 60 years old, has been a wife of one husband, and is well known for good works. That is, if she has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the saints' feet, helped the afflicted, and devoted herself to every good work, but refused to enroll younger widows. For when they are drawn away from Christ by desire, they want to marry, and will therefore receive condemnation because they have renounced their original pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle, going from house to house. They're not only idle, but are also gossips and busybodies, saying things they shouldn't say. Therefore, I want younger women to marry, have children, manage their households, and give the adversary no opportunity to accuse us. For some have already turned away to follow Satan. If any believing woman has widows in her family, she should help them, and the church should not be burdened, so that it can help those who are genuinely widows. The elders who are good leaders should be considered worthy of an ample honorarium, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain, and the worker is worthy of his wages. Don't accept an accusation against an elder unless it is supported by two or three witnesses. Publicly rebuke those who sin, so that the rest will also be afraid. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing out of favoritism. Don't be too quick to appoint anyone as an elder, and don't share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. Don't continue drinking only water, but use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Some people's sins are obvious, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others surface later. Likewise, good works are obvious, and those that are not obvious cannot remain hidden. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that we can study. We'd ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us. Help me tonight as I explain this stuff, and help me to get it all just right. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, as we've said, this was written between 63 and 66. Timothy was the son of a Greek father, but probably that father was not Christian, but the Jewish mother was. And he's a close associate of Paul. So he starts out talking about taking care of widows. It's a big problem, but it's not all on the church. Widows should be taken care of by their children. Now, we have to look at the culture of the time. Women didn't own anything. They had whatever they had because of their fathers before they were married, or their husbands after they were married. Now, if the husband dies, then everything that they have goes to somebody. Generally, it's divided. You take the number of sons, add one, and divide by that. Then all the sons get one portion, except the oldest son gets two portions. He gets a double share. Now, these children should be taking care of the mother. One of them, all of them, whatever, should be taking care of the mother, because she doesn't actually own anything. They do. Now, she probably will help them, but they have the responsibility for her. Sons have the main responsibility, but married daughters do too. If she has a daughter and that daughter got married, then the daughter should be telling her husband, "We need to take care of my mom." A real widow has nobody to support her. Her husband has died. She has no children, or her children, much to their discredit, are not taking care of her. She should not be self-indulgent. Now, what they mean by that is some of the younger ones, or maybe even the middle-aged ones, whatever, they take the money that was being given by the church to support widows, and then they just go off and have a good time. They're not adding anything to the ministry of church. Those who do not provide for widows in their family are worse than unbelievers. And it actually, when you look at it, it comes down later and it talks about the fact that if a Christian woman has widows that she's related to, she should be taking care of them. Let's be realistic. The man owned everything, but the woman always managed it. And we have places all over the Old Testament where it talks about that what you want is a wife who can be a good manager of what you own. And it says you will be happy. It talks in, they always want to talk about the Proverbs 31, is that what it is? Proverbs 31 woman. And in there it talks about this woman. She goes out and she buys things and she sells it and she does all this stuff. Now she's doing it with her husband's money and her husband's resources.
Well, she's a maker of purple. She's a maker of purple. She makes purple cloth.
Yes. That's the whole point, is she's taking the resources that she can get from her husband and she's making profit out of it. And men should want that. And it always talks about the men who are sitting in the gate of the city and just basically shooting the breeze, smoking and joking and having a good old time because their wives are out making him a lot of money. Okay? Now, the qualifications that he gives for a real widow is, they need to be over 60. They need to have had one husband and been faithful to him. And they need to be known for good works. These are Christian women. These are not women who are just, you know, layabouts or, you know, going off and getting into mischief. Younger widows should marry and raise children. This is like, mainly, the problem that occurred here was that she gets married, the husband goes off to the army, gets killed. Okay, so now you got no kids, you got no nothing. But you're about, probably, they usually married at about 14 or 15. So she's young enough, maybe in her early 20s, that she can go find another husband. And Pat and I were talking about this last night, or yesterday. And one of the biggest things that they look at is, like, if you look in the book of Ruth, it continuously talks about worthiness. She should go out and she should work in the field of Boaz because he's a worthy man. And when Boaz says, "Well, who is this woman who's working so hard?" Well, that's Ruth, who's the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and she's taking care of her. She's better to her than a son would be. And she's a very worthy woman. So that's what we're saying, is they need to be becoming worthy women so that a man will say, "That's a good wife. I think I'm going to go get her." family, however, should be the primary caregiver. Whoever's related should be taking care of her. Once again, from the book of Ruth, when Boaz married Ruth, now remember, Ruth was the widow of the ultimate owner of all the property. Naomi's husband had died, leaving two sons. The eldest owned most of the property, and I have no idea who William Carey is. I think he was a missionary, wasn't he? Anyway, but now I've lost my entire train of thought. But the idea was that
we were talking about
you had three portions. One went to the eldest, and two went to the eldest, one went to the younger one. Then the eldest died. So now all three goes to the younger one, who was married to Ruth. So when we come to the idea,
did you answer it?
Or? No. When we come to the idea of redeemer, it is this guy Boaz. Actually, there's somebody else, it turns out, but whatever. And he is not redeeming Naomi, because she's down the line. He's redeeming Ruth. And so once he married Ruth, then Ruth took care of Naomi. And so the family should be the primary caregiver. There should be somebody that you're related to who should be taking care of you if you're in desolation. But if nobody will do it, then the church steps in. When you have somebody who is just completely, you know, got no source, she's older, she's... take care of her. That's, you know, particularly if she's over 60 and she's, as they say, washed the feet of the apostles. She's, you know, this is somebody who's been working in the church. Then he talks about honor for elders. Now, this gets into a little bit delicate situations to preach about. We're talking not just somebody who's older. We're talking about the actual position of elder. Remember the other day we talked about it and we said that elder is presbyteros. Now, presbyteros is where we get the word Presbyterian. They are the people who are the Presbyterians call them the presbytery. We call an elder board, whatever. These are the people who run the church. Now remember, you have deacons who are servants, and you have elders who run the church. Now in Rock of Hope Church that we came from, they actually had it that way. There was a servant board, and there was an elder board. And they, to the best of my knowledge, still run it that way. But the elders are the ones. Now, interestingly enough, the pastor is an elder. So in this church, we have two elders, old guy Jim and me. You know, because I can't convince John. You know, so, but at any rate. And it says that you receive compensation. And what they're talking about is people who are actually outdoing the work of God, they shouldn't have to be doing it on their own funds. They should be compensated for what they do. They should be given money to pay for their expenses. And it says, especially those who teach and preach. See, once again, we're saying that the pastor is an elder. He's a special kind of elder, but he is the elder. Now, they say he should receive compensation, but he should not demand it. It should be offered to him, and he can take it or not. Paul often talks about how that he wouldn't take money from churches because they needed to build their church. Mm-hmm. Okay? But they honored him by offering it to him. Do not allow elders to be slandered, but investigate to be sure. Now, the problem that was occurring was that people who were not in the church were seeing how the church ran, and they said, okay, these are the people who are running the church. So they would go out and they would bring in false charges against them. Now, this, of course, causes discredit to the church, but if you investigate it and you check it out, you can show the fact that this is not true and that this person is simply trying to cause problems. He says, do not show favoritism. Don't just say, oh, that's an elder, so blow this off. No, if somebody brings a charge, check it out. And if it turns out that it's complete bogosity, then you just say, that is a lie, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But he says, be careful who you appoint as an elder. You want somebody who is so known for his character that when somebody says something bad about him, the person who hears it, even if he's not in the church, wants to knock him out because he says, no, I know that guy, and don't you say that about him. Okay? And then he says, take wine for your stomach and your frequent illnesses. Now, this is just kind of a little aside that he put in there. What he's talking about is the fact that in Ephesus, this is Greece, they probably didn't have great water purification. Now, Timothy may have been the kind of a guy who was very susceptible to something being in the water, whatever bacteria is or whatever. It wasn't enough to cause the average person to have a problem, but it did cause Timothy. And so he's saying, have wine. Now, it may be that he wanted him to simply mix some wine into the water, to put some alcohol in there that would clean out a lot of the bacteria or whatever. He's not saying, oh, you know, go get loaded, it's good for you. He's saying wine can be good for you because it's better than water because it's pure. It has to be. It's got alcohol in it. So what does this all mean to us? Well, there are always people in need. And we should care for them. And once again, we have Vicki here who's doing One Heart Ministry, who's taking care of people. One of the people that we may need to take care of are widows, elderly widows. In many large churches, you find that there's actually a ministry that is specifically targeted towards the elderly. And once again, they're not targeting just the widows. They're also charging widowers or anybody who's old enough that he's got problems getting by. Maybe that he's got the money to buy the food, but he's not any good at cooking it. Or he's, you know, not in good shape that he can stand there and cook it. Or whatever. There are people in need, and we should be ready to care for whoever is in need, particularly in our own families and particularly in our own church. We should, however, be judicious about this. We don't simply say, oh, you know, that poor person. We investigate this. They have repeatedly on the TV done these little things where they go out and they find some guy and they put a, you know, spy camera to watch him as he's sitting there asking people to give him money and he's begging. And at the end of the day, he gathers everything up. He may be sitting there in a wheelchair, which he then gets up, gets out of the wheelchair, folds it up, goes off to his Mercedes and puts everything in there. Now, they have found that these people can make $500 or $600 a day.
Will you answer that?
Okay. Hold on. Hello? Pretty good? Okay. Well, could you give me a call back, same number, same everything, about maybe 7:30? I am right now in the middle of church. Okay. Thank you. Yep. Bye.
Okay. Somebody looking for a church?
Yes, somebody looking for a church. And I, you know,
oh.
And I probably should have just turned it off.
The church number is forwarded to his cell phone. So.
Right. So, we should be judicious because there are people who are, you know, they're pulling a weasel deal. And we should check it out. Then again, that's what we've got Vicky for. When we're helping the homeless, she knows who are the homeless and who are the people who are pulling
the
weasel deals.
Use what we give them and who are the ones who will just toss things away or whatever. So.
Yep. And we must honor those who serve us. And once again, that seems a little bit self-serving for me to say. But I must say that you guys have always honored me. And I truly appreciate it. I discovered that this is the job I've wanted all my life, and I love it. We should not honor those who serve us because we must, but because we should. That's just the way it is. I honor the people who have taught me as I grew up. My pastor, Dave Foster, taught me a lot, okay? He and I have a lot of disagreements. But that's okay because I learn in discussing these disagreements. So honor those who serve us. Keep in prayer for the people in the Northwest Baptist Convention and the Southern Baptist Convention. They just had the Southern Baptist Convention, and it didn't come out the way a lot of people wanted it to. Not that it was bad or anything, but they didn't get things squared away to the level that a lot of people wanted it to be. And so we need to keep in prayer. The Northwest Baptist Convention, we need to pray for because we have a director who is stirring stuff up. And rightly so. What he is stirring up and just did stir up at the Southern Baptist Convention was quite reasonable. So keep them in prayer, keep the Southern Baptists in prayer, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our food, for our meeting together and for all the stuff that we do. Help us to be good servants. Help us as we go out into the world to lead the people that we encounter to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming.